Open up your scriptures. We're going to be in Psalms again. This time, Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Psalm 48 says, as the inspired word of God, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all depths. Well, we get to gather again. Last week in giving my meditation, of course, I gave praise to God. And the scriptures on which the meditation was based was Psalm 150. I started to read that again, but the word was so full of praises for God, I said, you can do something else. So I went to Psalm 148 and other places. But as I stated the last time we were here, is that the group of Psalms, especially those in the 40s, went into this pattern where there was this crescendo of the praising of God, so that by the end, if you read the scriptures and in quiet time, you'll find at the end of Psalm 150, you'll probably be saying, praise God. You've heard it enough time, first of all, as you go through the Psalms and later ones. But there's something about the Spirit of God that seems to come forth where I personally praise God and have done it multiple times. As I said before, sometimes we say some things and we don't even know what we're doing. When I've said this word a long time and a lot of times, and I didn't know it so succinctly until I went through the Psalms where the word hallelujah came forth. And that's really the name of the Psalms. It's really like a book of hallelujahs. Praise God, praise God, praise God. In other ways, too, it gives praise to God, not just in those specific words. And then in the Greek, I said, for some of the folks I hear who know Greek, they go, hopefully at some point, alleluia, and in the readings and other texts. So as we continued through that medication last week, I told you that one of the biggest changes in my life is I now, because of this being before me, will start my day, and during my day, I just go to the Lord and say, praise you. Because you have to think of it this way, each moment, each breath, each second and millisecond, a praise goes to God because he has kept us in this realm. And not that we don't look forward to heaven, but we know that in this moment we are sustained by God's perfect will. And there will come a time when that will for us to be here ends and we'll be in another realm. And I think we'll be more joyful. And in fact, I'm positive, given the way the world is right now, do Lord Jesus come quickly, I would not be mad about that, leaving all my possessions, all of the things that I think about and do here. It's time that we consider being in the kingdom of God. Because I tell people, we think some things right now are bad, then stay out of the book of the Revelation. Because what we're going through now, we'll be wishing and crying out for these days. But I digress. My other hope while reviewing what had happened last week is I prayed that the people here, the ones that heard it, and even the ones who weren't here to hear the meditation, I pray that the Holy Spirit moved you a few more times or multiple times this week to utter to our God, praise you, God, praise you, Lord, praise you, Savior. If that happened, I'm blessed. If it didn't happen, it did happen with one person, and he's the one standing before you. So I know out of all population, there's one. The praises increased even more so over the past week. And I'm amazed that God gave me this meditation because I had thought about it, but it just highlighted things. And when we look at Psalm 150, we noted that, again, the hallelujahs, the praises were frequent. As a matter of fact, in 150 alone, Psalm 150 alone, the writer is inspired to give praise to God 13 times. Six verses, 13 times. So again, that crescendo that he gives the Lord praise. But that wasn't the only one. I read Psalm 148 and another psalm. I started to use that as the first because it gives praise after praise after praise to God. So what it said to me is that as the book was ending, the Psalms, there was this crescendo. There was an amplitude, if you will, of the praise, but also in a literary loudness, if you will, by God's grace, in the declaration of our majestic God as one who is to be praised. There was also the command, as we noted, that everything that hath breath was to praise God, but especially the saints of the Most High God, whose sins have been taken away by the blood of the perfect Lamb. And it was noted in the scriptures that we should praise God with a melody in our hearts and spirits. If we run around all week, and especially if we run around on the Sabbath day, there's no melody in our hearts and our spirits. Let's make a check. Let's see what our relationship is with God, what we've been doing in our praise and worship of Him, and in our behavior as ones who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord. And interestingly enough, when I looked at the instruments that were cited in Psalm 150, even not being a, you know, quote, musical person, I noted that the melody in our hearts and our spirits could be analogous, symbolic, or another way of a people who had that melody in our heart that was consistent with what was cited, the trumpet, the lute, the harp, and the loud and clashing cymbals. That caught my attention. Again, in my praise now, it is not uncommon for me to be a little more vocal in my volume. I don't want to disturb anybody, but I also don't care. Sometimes I'm out in the public, and if a praise is to be given to my Lord, I'm going for it. We have been too silent. Something happens in the store. Maybe for you ladies, you find that great deal. I don't know. But for men, whatever it is, let us not be afraid to give praise to God. I had another situation where I was checking out in one of our local stores. And I checked out, things went well. And at that moment, I noticed the checker and he finished up his thing. And before leaving, I normally would have grabbed myself and been out. But I turned around and I said, "The Lord bless you." Giving him praise even in the supermarket. Not surprising, the guy turns to me with a big smile and he says, "He is my God and my Savior." All because I'm not afraid to praise the Most High God. So this is what part of what is happening to me. It is that broadening of not only knowing about salvation, but what is it like in my life. One person said to me, we were having discussions about something biblical, and he said to me, "Well, what does that look like?" And I said, "Well, it looks like the words that we just said," but of course he meant something else. I mean, what does it look like in terms of me observing you? What does it look like when you have something to say? What does it like when you support me and listen and hear and help? What does it look like? So in these psalms, and I see this thing where we have another part of it, not just saying, "I've seen those words, I've read those words." It's like, what does it look like in this church? And that's why I asked during the past week. I'm not asking for hands, unless you want to, but I'm not asking for hands, but has there been an increase in your praise of God? And I pray that it has. If not, God gave you today, and perhaps He'll give you the next week. You got another opportunity. And if you really want to bless me, and I didn't say this last time, if you really want to bless me, just come up to me and say, praise God. There's a couple of men in this group who, over the course of the last many months, have come to me, and we had a saying. It's called, praise be to God in its own way, or grace and peace, something like that. And these men, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, have come to me and said, that's a nice phrase, but you seem to be missing something. So now they come up and they say to me, grace and peace in Christ Jesus. So now when I mess up and I only say grace and peace, and I see a person in the back, they know what I'm talking about. He's one of them. There's another outside. So again, having heard the meditation, I pray that the Lord and the Spirit have been moving on us individually and collectively. After last Sunday, I began putting away the material that I was using to prepare for that meditation. And then after I was putting, as I was putting the material away, I came across a paper, and I just briefly scanned it, and I said, you didn't cover that on last Sunday. I said, well, I can't do everything because, you know, this is a short period of time. Yeah, I have to move on because there's a lot to say. But shortly thereafter, apparently by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I saw another paper that had something that I failed to mention. So after this continued multiple times in my limited capacity, I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, I get it. I get that there are some things that I should go before the congregation and say. It went back to another talk I did about being a servant of the Most High God. When God called, definitely, and after multiple times, I reverted back to what I had said, which means I need to also be and do and know that I'm a servant. So a servant of the Most High God is standing here saying, I didn't finish last week with everything that God apparently had to offer, and that begins with me. So if nothing comes from this pulpit that is seemingly for you, I know it's for me. It's kind of selfish. But that's one of the blessings of studying God's word in a preparation for a meditation or anything else. It's about me, but as a servant, and it may be about you as well. So let ears hear and eyes see if something came your way. And I didn't mind that prompting by the Holy Spirit, because I love praising my God who is all sufficient. And I know that more and more as I get older and older. So praise him for that. So the reason for part two is that the praise of our Lord is extremely important. This is certainly noted in the Holy Scriptures and in some non-inspired resources. From the study of praising God, and some elements began to stand out that were omitted last week. For example, one, I neglected to specifically point out to us and to myself, who is to be praised? The answer, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of our triune God, sometimes we omit this in looking at the triune God and of course, God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But sometimes in my own life, God the Father is kind of more limited than he should be, and certainly the Holy Spirit is more limited than he should be. So when we talk about the praise, we're directing it at Jesus Christ. We're in the communion service. But let us not neglect praising God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. So in looking at things from which I gave information, I found some things that were in the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. The confession states in chapter 5, paragraph 1, oh, great scriptures and great elements supporting the scriptures in the confession. God, the good creator of all things, in his infinite power and wisdom, doth uphold depose and govern all creatures and all things from the greatest even to the least. By his most wise and holy providence, to the end for which, they were created, according to his infallible knowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy. Furthermore, to look at whom we direct our praise. Back to the Psalm, Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord." And this is for everybody and possibly me included, but the next part says, "I will sing." I usually just verbalize, but it says in the word, "I will sing praises to my God while I have being." The second point I would continue in this meditation is this. What is to be done in praising God? And the answer, the praising of the Lord should occur as often as we can. I will note here that even the conservative Jews of the Old Testament knew what they were supposed to do in praising the Lord. I don't know if you, well, you remember this group is well-versed in the scriptures and in surrounding things, that the Jews were so in awe and were such sincere people in the worship of their faith that they would not even say the name of the Lord. But these same people who had reverence, fear, and some intrepidation in the Old Testament would praise the name of the Lord, how loud they would praise him and praise him. In Moses, you see it happening. In other parts of the scriptures, with other prophets, with other leaders, these conservative folks who would stone for the blasphemy related to our God were still praising. So it was something that was important and something about which they were sincere. So a good example. Because they knew his name was holy, even if they wouldn't pronounce it. But now going to the New Testament scriptures. We remember that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19, that we should rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. It is my view that Paul told us to pray without ceasing to our Lord. To me, I can make another application that says, why should I not praise God without ceasing? Now, when he says without ceasing, of course, it doesn't mean every minute, every day, but it means as often as you can, as often as possible, as often as comes. So continue, and even when things don't seem to be going the way you want to do, still continue to pray. And in my case, I tell you, if things aren't going well at times, praise him anyway. And certainly we praise him when he's giving us the good things that he has in store for us. I'm going to take another little segue. If we sit down sometimes and think about the good things that God has given to us, obviously eternal life, but I mean just day by day. I told you last time, just waking up with breath and ability for this body at this stage of life to function, it deserves a praise. You young people, you say, "Up, I don't have a sense about ills and, you know, whatever." Even for you, God has given you breath. He's given you talents. He's giving you an opportunity to come to him and to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So even you, the young folks, you have a basis, even now, even before salvation, to praise him, because there's something called the general grace. You've looked out and seen the glorious mornings, the sunshine, the beauty, whatever you do. And even if you're unregenerate at this point, we praise God. And that's why it says, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And I'm going to say it again. Personally, not speaking for the pastor of the church, personally, I would love to hear more of the praising of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be blessed, and it's not uncommon for the person doing the praising to be blessed as well. I'm not talking materially. I'm talking spiritually, emotionally, mentally. So praise God. I went on to note in this section that the dying of the Lord Jesus on the cross has been reflected. I'm getting off into music once again, my least knowledgeable area, but certainly when I was reviewing material and saw the doxology, one doxology, the words came and touched my spirit as well. One says, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So in many ways, at many times, the Lord lets us know that we are to praise him. And a type of praise that is for him alone. Now, let me not get into trouble. So men who have wives and women who have husbands and other relatives, say some nice things about them. But there is a praise that is reserved for the only true and living God. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another point was, where is the Lord Christ to be praised? And you can run through your mind, but we'll start off with the answer, and that is everywhere. Everywhere. Psalm 150 notes that this should include the praise of God in his sanctuary. This certainly is a place that if praise is going to be given, it should be from the lips of the saints. Because we gather not because we like each other only, and we do. It's not because we have nothing else to do on a Sunday. Not because you want to get out of the house, away from the kids. You're here because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been regenerated by the shed blood of the Lamb. So in that context, when we enter the sanctuary, we should do so with a heart and mind that gives him praise, and we do praise him. Oh, yes, let's move on, if you will. In the second line, though, of Psalm 150, it indicates that we should praise God in his mighty firmament. To give a context for that, it means that we basically need to give God praise wherever we are in his creation. That means certainly at a communion service. It certainly means in the preaching of the word. But it certainly means that we'll give our Lord additional praise when we're at home, when we're at work, during recreational activities, at social events, and certainly during our singing, praying, and meditation times. If we don't have those quiet times where we can truly be before God alone and sing his praises, that vertical relationship, then we might begin to think about having times where we do pray, but also give him praise. And sometimes I get amazed, as long as I've been a Christian, as to the Lord's relationship with me. I know myself, and if I were holy and perfect and all that God is, I would not be one to rapidly come toward this person. Although I love him and I praise him, I know I have salvation. But he is a God who still has fellowship with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. It says in Matthew, the 18th chapter, and the 20th verse, that we can praise him, and especially now, you can see in most cases someone else is here. We have a group of people, I don't know the number, but we're here. And the Lord said himself, this, Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together, and this is the important part, in my name, not just the social, oh, let's be here, I got no place else to go, but in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So when I come to the church for both communion, meditation, teaching, study, and I have two or more, and sometimes there are many people here, I just know the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst. Pastor alludes to this at times when he's beginning his preaching. He'll say something generally like, Holy Spirit, be with us today. And since he's the comforter, and we know that the Lord is intervening for us at all times, he is in our midst. So praise God for him. And the praise that begins here on earth, another element of this thing God has given us in his precious word, another element is the fact that if we can begin praising God here on earth, we'll continue after we enter the kingdom of heaven. This is not a trial run. This is a continuity issue. Let's start now. Even though we have not seen the fullness of his glory, but again, that's when we have the glorified body, mind, and our spirits are also redeemed. We will then be able to appreciate him more and more. But we know enough at this point to know that we can begin here. And if you can't begin here, that's a time where we need to reflect on who we are in Christ Jesus. And we can love him because he first loved us. And the glory of the Lord will be seen more clearly when we do enter the kingdom of heaven. Because there, do Lord Jesus come. I think I said that already. Come quickly. But even there, we're going to join the angels, the elders, the saints, and other creatures who are now in heaven and giving praises to the Lamb of God. The scriptures state that we will, like the creatures in heaven, declare Jesus Christ, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And that's in the book of the Revelation 4:8. When is God to be praised? Again, when we sing, when we pray, when we meditate, when we worship, and we think about all the great things the Lord has done for us. It would not be unwise to frequently have praises on our lips as saints of the Most High God. The psalmist says in Psalm 145, 1 and 3, the concept that I'm talking about, praising God, just whenever, however, it says, I will extol thee, so you, meaning God, I'll extol you, my God, O King. And I will bless your name forever and ever. And then he says for us here to listen and to be conscious of what God has us do. Every day, I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I hope some of this is sinking in. I can't tell by faces or attitudes or whatever. I can't tell. But I pray that the Spirit of God even now is moving and reigning. And if you're there, praise God. If you're a little bit below, praise God. He'll get you there. And if you're on the lower, praise God, because he is able to do exceedingly above what we could think and ask. And I'm talking about myself, by the way. I kind of look this way. But I'm really talking about myself. I pray that if I'm at points, Lord, by your perfect will, get me from here to here to your glory and my benefit. I need to move on. Why is God to be praised? It would take an eternity for us to answer that question. And by eternity, I don't mean you're going to answer it after you enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I see it all, God. I got you down. I know you in your fullness. It will never, ever, ever happen. The fullness of God can only be understood. The Father to the Son, Son and the Holy Spirit to the Son, and the Holy Spirit to however that permutation works out. But that's is who God is, and we'll never know the fullness. But again, pointing back to the confession of faith, it says in chapter 3, paragraph 3, by the decree of God for the manifestation of his glory, some men and angels are predestined or foreordained to eternal life through Jesus Christ to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, this is the sad part for those who do not praise God, cannot praise God, do not have salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen and have caution, have fear, because it states next, others being left to act in their sin to their condemnation, even that will be to the praise of his glorious justice. So he's going to be praised whether we bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, or we have, by God's decree, in our own evil and sin nature, not entering the kingdom of heaven. We will know who God is, and there will be praise, not in the goodness of what, or not goodness, that happened to you, because we'll know that he truly is God, and praise will come forth. Well, I need to move on. Let's go with the next one. How is God to be praised? I like the ones with good, quick answers, and they go joyfully, sincerely, truthfully, thankfully, spiritually minded, and with humility. I'm going to read my last comment here, and that's again from the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689, chapter 22, paragraph 1. The light of nature shows that there is a God who hath lordship and sovereignty over all, is just, good, and doth good unto all, and is therefore to be feared, loved, praised, called upon, trusted in, and served with all the heart and all the soul and with all the might. But the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself, and so limited by his own revealed will, that he may not be worshipped according to the imagination and devices of men, nor the suggestions of Satan, under any visible representations or any other way not prescribed in the Holy Scriptures. So may the Lord richly bless us today and always. And since we all have breath today, we would do great in saying to our God and Savior King, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And God bless us all. Amen.